I want to clear something up before I get started. I did not preach at the organization of this church. I've been asked that twice. So I want to be sure and clear that up. You know, there's some smart alecks in here too, brother. It is good to be here. It really is. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful that the Lord has set this time for me to be here. And I know you folks have heard this maybe many times before, but I have three sureties in my life. I know the Lord saved me. I know the Lord called me to preach, and I know I'm exactly where He wants me right now. And certainly that's always a blessed security for me to know that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Philippians. Book of Philippians, the first chapter. I want to read to you just the one verse, the sixth verse. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a great blessing. That's one of the greatest blessings ever was, is to know that whatever God, the Lord started, He's going to finish it. And certainly it's been a blessing here at this church. First of all, today I want to say that glory to the Almighty God who has seen fit to sustain and uphold Elder Grove Baptist Church for 100 years. I mean, that's a testimony within itself. I mean, that is a testimony that you can have this and realize that 100 years ago, this church started, and Lord has upheld it ever since then. I mean, I know it's gone through some things, but most churches have. And certainly we're thankful for that. But, you know, I don't want to take anything away from this time of praise, but I too reached a milestone in my ministry. Today, December the 6th, 2014, I have been consistently, never been without a church, pastoring the Lord's church for 47 years. That's today, as of today. And I too thank the Lord for sustaining and upholding my ministry all these years. I tell you, you know, that goes to show you right there that I wasn't here when they organized this church. You know, none of us know what it's like, what it was like 100 years ago. It's hard for me to imagine what it was like 100 years ago. I've often thought that if my grandfather, grandmother, who passed away back in the early 50s, that if they came back now, they wouldn't recognize it either. They wouldn't recognize him. Some of those folks that organized the Elder Grove Baptist Church, if they came back today, they wouldn't know what to do either. Things have so changed. I mean, over the last 100 years, things have so changed. And all we can do is just think about it. We can think about what it was like back then. But the present time in all of religiosity is in utter disarray. It is. I mean, it's like Brother Troy, I believe Brother Troy was saying last night, one of them, I believe maybe about, you know, back when this church was organized, there's a lot of religions that wasn't even heard of. Then, really, and I know I wrote my thesis on church history. And 232 different denominations, I wrote my church, my thesis on. And, I'm gonna tell you, there's a lot out there and there's a lot today. And there's a lot of chaos in religiosity today. A lot of it. Because that's about all most of it is religiosity. That's about all it is. Now, I see the Lord's churches, even today, going away from truth. And I frankly don't know what's going to happen. I hear of it all the time. I mean, like I said, I've been around a while. This coming May, the first weekend in May, I'll be preaching 48 years. And I've seen a lot. I've been around a lot. And I've seen a whole lot. And I want to tell you, I don't know where it's going and what's going on. I'm talking about the way religion is today. I don't know where it's going and what's going to happen to it. I was telling somebody there last night that went to a Bible conference in a church that we've been to many times. And basically, in the Bible conference, two women preached little short messages. And a church that nothing, never known of anything like that to ever happen. But it is now. And it's like I told Elder Grove Baptist Church when I used to come over here, you know, you've got to be careful. When you go to look for a new pastor, you've got to be careful in this day and time. I mean, you can't just go out there and get eager and don't want to suffer anymore just to get a pastor and just get somebody. You've got to be careful. And, you know, and Brother Tom Horn, I think he's solid. I think he's sound. But only time will tell. That's right, only time will tell. And certainly that's, you know, if you can uphold that, that's just like the Bryan Station Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. They were organized as a church before Kentucky ever became a state. And they were organized, a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist Church, back in 1700. I don't remember the exact date. Back in 1700 and something. Now, you imagine a church existing that long and holding to the truths. That's just, it's almost more than I can fathom. And, you know, somebody has to be behind it. And I believe God's behind it. I believe He's behind it, and I believe that, Elder Grove Baptist Church, God's going to be with her, and I believe she's going to go on further. Now, you've got these kids that come up here, you know. They're going to be the next people in this church. You know, us old folks, we can sit back and we can say, boy, where's these kids going to go? I'm telling you, I hope they'll keep Elder Grove Baptist Church as a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist Church. Now, I don't make any bones about that now. I can't help it, you know. I'm a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist preacher from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. I wasn't saved in a Sovereign Grace Landmark Missionary Baptist church, but it wasn't 2 weeks until the Lord showed me those truths. And certainly, it's a wonderful thing. But I said all that to say this. I do know what's in the future for Elder Grove Baptist Church. It's all no now. We got a prophet. You don't have a prophet. You just got a big preacher. But I do know what's in the future for Elder Grove Baptist Church and all churches of Black Faith. I know what's in their future. Now, most Christians want to talk about the past, how they were mistreated and still live as to always remember. Always remember what happened. I mean, there's things that have happened right here at Elder Grove Baptist Church. Some of you may never forget. You may take it to the grave with you. And that's, I guess that's just normal for people. You know, you can forgive, but I want to tell you folks, it's hard to forget. It's a difficult thing to forget. The things that went on. A lot of Christians want to talk about the present and how difficult it is to do everything they want to do. So most of the time in this present day, they just leave God and the Lord's church under the bus, and they just go on and do what they think is more important to do. I had a preacher tell me a few years back, church he's pastoring just went, they went completely away from truth. And he said, I felt like, and our people felt like it's the best thing to do. You know, God doesn't govern us like that. God doesn't govern us. He doesn't govern us that way, you know, that we just do as we please. There's none of us here that have the authority to do as we please. I've been pastoring these folks for nearly 31 years now, and I still don't have the authority to do as I please. And though our folks don't have the authority to do as they please. But you know, we live in a world today where people want to do as they please. They hate authority. Despise. Look at it. What about authority in the Lord's churches? It's just about gone. It really has. It's about gone. And I'm going to get to something here in just a minute. This is just the introduction. However, this morning, I want you to know that there is a truth in God's Word which is very clear, and there are those today who are ardent propagators of the gospel of Christ who still believe one of the greatest truths of the Bible, and that is that God's chosen ones are preserved and they persevere unto the end. You'll say, how do you know what's in the future? I know what's in the future for every saved person in Elder Grove Baptist Church. I know what's in the future for every saved person at Landmark Baptist Church and any other church, Memorial Heights, any other church that is represented here today. I know what's in the future because I know if God has begun a work in you, He's going to take it right on to the end. It don't make any difference. You'll say, well, I've been through a whole lot. I've had a whole lot. He's still going to, the road may be rough, but he's going to get you where he wants you to be. Well, this brings about the title of my message. I finally got to that. The title of my message is The Final Perfection of God's Chosen One. You know, we always talk about perfection. We talk about those that are perfect. You know, some people say, well, how can they say that we're perfect? Well, I want to tell you, in God's eyes, what God sees, we're perfect. You've already reached your perfection because you're going to be there as sure as you're sitting there today. You're going to be there. And you're going to stand there and you're going to rejoice in the fact that the promise that God gave us is true and it's factual. And you're going to rejoice in that. The confusion about this truth comes from those who neither know the God of the book, nor do they understand the truths of the book. You know, we have a vast, biggest part of religion today that, and let me say it like this, 99% of modern religion believes that it is up to the sinner to claw his way under the atonement umbrella, and after he gets there, then he has the responsibility to hold out faithful to the end. Once you claw your way under there, now you have the responsibility to hold out faithful to the end. Most of them don't. Now, you might say, well, what about you? I didn't claw my way under the atonement umbrella. I was already there. If you're here and saved today, you were already there. The Armenians want us to believe that God has set atonement up here, and He says you do the best you can to get to it. Well, if that's the case, there's a possibility no one would ever be saved. So that's what I believe about it. If he doesn't hold out faithful, he is delegated to go to hell where all those go who are not perfected. And that's, if you don't hold out faithful, you know. Man, those holiness, they'll stand and hold out faithful. You gotta hold out faithful, brother. You gotta hold on. You can't ever let go. If you ever let go, boy, you're doomed. You know. If you ever let go, you're doomed. Now, I'm going to preach today that the final perfection of the saints is predestinated from the foundation of the world. In other words, if you are truly saved, you're destined to finally reach the goal of perfection just as sure as you sit here today. You're going to reach that goal. You say, well, I can't fathom that. You're still going to do it. You're still going to be there. The Apostle Paul was a consistent teacher of the great truth of final perfection. Turn with me to Romans 8, if you would, and we'll, I've already got them folded in my Bible. But, I'm going the wrong way. In Romans 8, in verse 29, this is how I know. He says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, people hate that word. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In whom he called, them he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified or perfected. You see, how in the world can I sit here today, or I can stand up here, and you can sit there today, and you can say, I'm glorified. When in God's eyes you are. God's mind you are. God doesn't see anything else in you. He doesn't see anything else in me. God saw the beginning and now He sees the end. Just as sure as I'm standing here today, God has already seen my resurrection. I may be waiting on it, but God has already seen it. He has already brought it to pass in His mind. And He did it from all eternity. As somebody asked me some time back, they said, well, out of eternity, when did God elect you? God has always had us in His mind. You'll say, well, when in eternity did He do that? He's always had us in His mind. God is eternal. There's never been a time when God didn't exist. And there's never been a time that God did not have us in His mind. You know, we talk about when Christ was on the cross, I was on His mind. when I want to tell you, when Christ was out there in eternity with His Father, I was on His mind. Brother, that's a blessing to me. The greatest blessing that ever came to my heart is to know that I've always been on His mind. Philippians 3. Philippians 3 and verse 12. Paul said, "Now as though I had already attained, either were already perfect," look at this, "but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." That is our goal. That is what we do. We follow after. We follow that path and that trail. And someday, we're going to reach it. Paul says, I can't say that I've apprehended, but he says, I'm walking toward it. I'm walking toward that perfection. Now I want to look at six proofs that our God, all of God's chosen will reach final perfection. Turn with me to Revelation 21, if you would. I'll try to get through this as quickly as possible. Revelation 21 says in verse 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." Turn with me over to the 22nd chapter. Look at the third verse. He says, "There shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face. And his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Now, what do we learn from that text? What do we learn from that text? Well, first of all, we learn there shall be no more curse. What a glorious thought! Perfect sinlessness. Is anybody in here that have it? I don't know, but Charles Wesley and John Wesley taught it. George Will taught it. They studied his book there at Oxford University in London, and that book was on total perfection. And they believed when they left there that they could live above sin. You didn't know Methodists once believed that. That's what I said. We can only think about what happened 100 years ago. We can only think about what those men believed that organized Elder Grove Baptist Church. But there's one thing I can tell you for sure, that there's a day coming when I'm going to be perfectly sinless. Imagine that. Some of you might say, "Well, I try every day. I try every day." Well, you won't have to try that day, because there'll be no more curse. As long as Satan roams free, sin will abound. What a great day when he is corralled and sent to the great abyss to remain 1,000 years. The curse of sin upon humanity is now lifted forever. Praise God, Jesus lifted the curse when he died on the tree. He sealed Satan's doom. He paid for our final perfection. I cannot conceive what it will be like not to have that sinful member in my body. But it's got to be something wonderful. It's got to be something wonderful, Brother Kendall, Sister Deborah, that you won't have to suffer anymore. Because that curse has been removed. Y'all pray for those two. Brother Kendall's got to have his hips replaced in about 2 weeks, week or so. Sister Deborah's been ailing for a long time. But I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing. I made a statement to our church here a couple, 3 weeks ago that all sickness, all affliction, all trials, all tribulations come as a result of sin. Some people said, oh no, I didn't. They say it comes as a result of sin. This hair didn't get gray. It got gray by the result of sin. Brother Tom back there didn't lose his. It came as a result of sin. You'll say, well, my Adam sinned. That's right. That's what makes you responsible. Because of sinlessness, we see more great blessings. There will be present the throne of God. Revelation 22:3b. He says, when he says there shall be no more curse, he says, why? But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. What a glorious thought. Perfect government. Boy, wouldn't you love to have perfect government now? Wouldn't you love to have perfect government? Boy, it'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? I can't even fathom what it'd be like to have perfect government. But I want to tell you, folks, you'll have perfect government. You'll have one who will be governing who is perfect. And you'll be one who will follow who is perfect. And what a great blessing. How many of you today long for a perfect government? We sure don't have it now. We live in a world where the governments are thoroughly polluted. Even today, God is able to bring into subjection governments and cause them to rule His way. Even today, He's able to do that. But for some reason, He doesn't see fit to do so. But there's a day coming when He will. And you don't believe it, when you get to heaven, you just look up old Nebuchadnezzar. And He'll tell you how God can bring down thrones. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, he vowed and declared, there's a God in heaven. And He rules over everything. And I tell you, folks, it'd be wonderful. Number three. I got some more. Number three. There will be His servants serving Him. Look at here. He says here, and His servants shall serve Him. Boy, it'd be wonderful for me to, every Sunday morning, Brother Lewis, to go in Landmark Baptist Church, stand out that hall to greet people and stand there and believe all of His servants are going to serve Him today. And then when services start, you got 10 or 12 out. Yeah. No, I would love to feel that way. That all His servants are going to serve Him. Let me tell you, folks, in that day, that's a wonderful thought. There will be perfect service. Perfect service. They won't need me to preach to them. There'll be perfect service. God's using me right now, but he won't be using me then. Because there won't be no need of me. Because there'll be perfect service. His service will serve him. Sin makes our service imperfect. But the day will come when we will serve as he desires. Why? For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them. That's as near as we can get today to perfect service. Is that God has something for each and every one of us to do, and he's going to see that we do it. Now, he may have to whip us around, may have to beat us around, he may have to mess churches up, he may have to do a lot of things, but he'll get the final results in the end that he wants. He'll get what he wants out of it. It's only after perfect government can we have perfect service. Fourthly, we will come face to face. You know, we sing the song face to face with Jesus. But I want to tell you, it's a glorious thought, but there we'll have perfect communion. There'll be perfect communion. Boy, I tell you, there's times when I go to the Lord in prayer and I try to talk to the Lord, and evidently I'm not talking right. Evidently I'm not saying the right things. I heard a preacher say one time, God answered all his prayers. That's not true. Well, I heard a preacher say one day, he went out on the mountains in Kentucky. He said, I won't go and pray no orbit there because I know I can have perfect communion with God. Now, he's a bunch of hogwash. I've never had perfect communion with God, and I'm not going to as long as I'm in this body. All I can do is I can pray, and as humbly as I know how, and trust that the Lord has the things there that he's going to answer, and he has the things there he's going to ignore. But sometimes it seems like that he's ignoring everything. Oh yeah. But someday we come face to face. We sing so loud and so clearly face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Well, Jesus prayed that I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. Let me tell you, folks. We had a union with God before the foundation of the world. And we're going to have a union with him on the other side. Perfect union. Perfect union. Somebody asked me one time, what did God see in the people he chose? He didn't see a thing in them. Because they had perfect communion with him then. Adam and Eve had perfect communion with God until they sinned. And as soon as they sinned, they ran and hid. They won't talk to God anymore. Number five. There will be the mark of his name. Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see his face. And the last part of it says, and his name shall be in their foreheads. What a glorious thought. Perfect possession. God marks them. You know, the douloses, they put the ring in their ear to show that they were possessed by someone. But I want to tell you, God's going to put his mark on us. Oh, the devil's going to put his mark on a lot of people. But God's going to put his mark on us. And it's going to be a perfect possession. God's going to show us that we're his and he's ours. God's going to show us that we're all one in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great blessing. He knew them, He chose them. He predestinated them. He called them. He justified them. He glorified them. And he kept them as the apple of his eye. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll shout and sing the victory. What a great blessing. And lastly, there will be eternity experience. Look at the fifth verse. And they shall be there must be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let me tell you something, folks. If I could get across, I don't try to steer sinners to be saved because I can't do it. But I want to tell you one thing. If I could, I wish I could steer sinners with what eternity is going to be like. I heard it one time said that if you stacked all the sands of the sea over the earth over here, and a bird came every 10,000 years and got a grain of that sand and carried it over here, eternity has just begun when you get that pile moved. I can't tell you what it's going to be like, folks. I know there's people in the grave today that are suffering in hell. I know they are. But I also know there's people in the grave today that are rejoicing. They're rejoicing. What a glorious thought it is. Perfect glory. Perfect glory. What a great thing. We are children of the King. These girls sang, I heard them sing that song. We're children of the King. We're heirs and joint heirs with His beloved Son. I'm going to tell you, folks. I'll tell you. Let me get down here. I'm going to float away. All right, brother.